Microphone because it has a windscreen that matches my shirt, kind of.
Yeah, it just kind of blends right in.
Yeah, can hardly even see that it's here. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How we doing? It is good to be in Glendive this morning. I took a drive around a little bit, even south of town this morning, and it's green and it's wet and it's good. I came in from Great Falls yesterday. I didn't bring any of my family with me. Shame on me. Robert was going to come with me. My son, Robert, he's 9. He's right there in the middle. He was going to come with me, but his uncle called, and there were cattle trailers to clean out. Now, would you rather, well, I shouldn't put it that way. Would you rather drive to Glendive or... I don't know. Anyways, he wanted to hang out with Uncle Miles and clean out the cattle trailer. Rachel, I just texted with her. She is this morning in Chinook, and she's preaching at the church there today. And so I've been thinking about her and praying for her this morning. She does very well, but she gets nervous doing that. And the girls, Cora and Regan, are with her there. So, I've been here, I think this is my third time here. The first time was about 12 years ago when I was in town because Chi Alpha was having their very first service on the campus. And I came in with my friend Curtis Cole, and Curtis preached here that day, and I was just here hanging out. So that was the first time I was here. And then I think we were here, boy, about... probably 5 or 6 years ago when we were first itinerating, getting ready to move to Spain, which is where we're living now. And at that time, we were just talking about these ideas that we thought we were going to do, the things that God was calling us to, but we couldn't really envision perfectly yet. And so today, I'm excited to share a little bit about more what we have experienced and what we're excited to go back and be a part of. So that's why I'm here. The kids, even though they're not here, they recorded a greeting for all of you. Would that be okay if we showed that at this time? I think Jeanette's on top of that.
Hi, my name is Robert, and I'm a missionary to Spain.
My name's Regan. I'm a missionary to Spain.
My name's Cora.
I've lived there more than 3 years already.
God has called me to... tell my friends about Jesus.
My favorite part of living in Spain is the food.
Going to school with my favorite teacher.
I love doggies.
My parents are Matt and Rachel Nelson.
They work with International Media Ministries.
International Media Ministries.
I am them.
And make movies that... share the good news.
The good news.
In many other languages and countries.
The goal there is to put Jesus on every screen.
Jesus on every screen.
Jesus on every screen.
You can help us.
By signing up for our newsletter.
By praying for us.
And giving money.
Please visit our website.
MattandRachelNelson.com.
See you later.
Hasta luego.
Adios.
Ciao.
So I sent that out to some friends in Spain and said, what do you think? And they said, that is child exploitation. Well done. So they don't always get to travel with me this time around. The kids are enrolled in school in Great Falls this year, have 1 week left of school. And we'll be getting ready to go back as soon as our visas are approved. We'll be going back to Spain. We're finishing up the last 10% of raising our budget, and we'll be headed back to work with International Media Ministries. International Media Ministries was started by some AGWM missionaries about 35 years ago. It was in Brussels when it first started, and then moved to Spain about 15 years ago with the intention of working with our missionary colleagues with satellite television channels and other broadcasters to tell people about Jesus all over the region. So all over Europe and North Africa and the Middle East. And so that's a huge, huge number of audiences with lots of potential viewers. And this morning I'll share a couple of stories about how God is using that to let people know about Jesus. So I do want to use a scripture as a starting off point from Philippians chapter 3. But just before we jump into that, I want to pray. Holy Spirit, we already welcomed you here this morning. We know that you're here. And Spirit, we ask that you would stir in our hearts to send us. Send us into this community. Send us to our workplaces and among our family. Lord, maybe even to the ends of the earth. Send us where you would so that all could hear about Jesus. We thank you that we're your instruments, that we are your workmanship, and that we are a part of your plan for the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians chapter 3, this is Paul writing, and starting in verse 12, it says this: I don't mean to say that I've already reached, that I've already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Here's the first thing that I see, and I saw that there's a little place for you to jot notes on the back of your bulletin if you'd like. The first thing that I see that I'm identifying with here is, like Paul, I have not yet reached perfection. Is there anybody here this morning who would say they have reached perfection and would like to share your secret with us? No? Okay. Then I suppose I'm qualified to continue. But I have not yet reached perfection. I love it that missionaries, you know, I know a lot of the people on that back wall that are missionaries that this church supports. And I don't know that any of them are perfect either. Missionaries are normal people. Like Paul, missionaries have not achieved these things, nor have they reached perfection. There's a scripture that I think about almost every day in Romans chapter 7, and I think we have that one for the screen too. It says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Wow, I want to do what's right, and I don't always get there. And I don't want to do what's wrong, but sometimes those are the things I find myself doing, because we have not yet reached perfection. Here's how, this is a Matt Nelson rendering. This is not scripture, but this is the Matt Nelson rendering of this verse. I want to eat what is good. Oh no, go back to it. Go back to it. I want to eat what is good, but I don't. And I don't want to eat what is wrong, but I do it anyways. I got to town kind of late last night. I got hailed on big time in Circle about 9 o'clock last night. My car already has hail damage, which is, you know, kind of a good thing. I don't really worry about it. But I got to town and I checked in, and right across the Yellowstone River Inn, yeah? I went and had a big fat patty melt and fries. Because I want to eat what is good, but I don't. And I don't want to eat what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Not good at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night to be going and eating patty melts on a regular basis, right? You know, when we got to Spain, that imperfection was very clear to us. When I left for Spain, I spoke about 3 words of Spanish, and I mispronounced all of them. And you know, I knew this before I left, but don't you know they speak Spanish in Spain? And I knew that, but I went there, and every single day was an adventure. Every single day I was reminded of this lacking that I had in my life, especially in the area of the Spanish language. So Rachel and I, we went to language school every day. We had a phenomenal Spanish teacher. We learned enough Spanish to not always make fools of ourselves. And then I started, once we were done with language school, I started going into the office every day at International Media Ministries. And they let me know that the person who was kind of the project manager, this person who was responsible for dozens and dozens of media projects in various languages, that person had moved to another country, been reassigned, and that I was in charge. And I thought, I have not yet achieved these things, nor have I reached perfection. And I think that as we follow Jesus, there's a lot of times we end up in a place where we feel completely overwhelmed, unprepared, and that we don't have what it takes. But guess what? I think that's where he wants us, because then we depend on him, right? We depend on him. So, I decided, okay, I'm not just going to throw my hands up in the air and say, I'm not very good at Spanish. I didn't go to school to, you know, produce media projects in 20 languages. What am I going to do? I'm not just going to live in my imperfection. And that's not what Paul said he did either. He said, but I press on to possess perfection. Point number 2, we cannot be content to live in our imperfection. Yeah, we're not perfect, but we cannot be content to stay there, especially if this is an area of like sin in our lives that we stumble into. We can't say, well, that's just who I am and that's just what it is. We know that God can help us to overcome those things. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each of us. So, because we're not content to live in our imperfection, we decided we would have plans and goals and we would take steps. And every day I went into the office and I said, okay, and somebody gave me this picture. It's like you've got all these buckets and all these rocks. And if you can put the right rock in the right bucket every day, once a day, you've done your job. And don't think of it as more complicated than that. So that was my plan. Lord, help me to know what rock goes in what bucket. Help me to do it. The goal of International Media Ministries, and the kids said it on the video, is to put Jesus on every screen. Now, let's just think about that very literally for a second. There are a lot of screens out there. There's probably a lot of screens in this room, right? I mean, there's one behind me, and there's one over there, and there's one in my pocket. A lot of you probably have them in your pocket, or you're using them as your Bible, right? To think about that literally, to put Jesus on every screen is ridiculous. But we believe that God has called us to something that only he can help make happen. And that if we're faithful to go and put Jesus on a few screens, then he can make it into a lot more. So God gives us these things that are challenges that seem impossible. But that scripture on the screen right now says God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does work in all of us. So God doesn't just work in missionaries and pastors and Sunday school teachers, right? God, that scripture says, God is at work in all of us in various ways to achieve his purpose and his plan. So none of us is off the hook, are we? None of us can say, well, I don't, that's not my gifting, that's not my whatever, I'm not a part of that. We are all part of God's plan and a part of his goal that everybody would hear. Everyone on earth would have an opportunity to accept Jesus. So we're doing that. We're putting Jesus on every screen. One of the places we went to do this, and Jeanette, I'm not sure if the slide is in the right order, but there's a photo there of when I went to Serbia last year. Yeah, there it is. So that's our team on the left, and three of us there are Americans and two Serbs. And Pastor Danko was the host of a series called The Parables of Jesus. And this is a series that I've helped put into probably close to a dozen languages and is in, I think, 15 to 20 languages already. It's easily adaptable from English, and then we get a host who speaks the native language, and he can put it into the local language and be shared in that area. So my friend Sashko, who's the one on the far right in the black sweatshirt there, he has that same goal. Let's put Jesus on every screen in Serbia. So we went to Serbia, and we were there 4 days, and in 4 days, we went from having just a script in Serbian into recording 8 of the parables and totally finishing them up in the Serbian language. So we said, okay, Lord, we put Jesus on this screen in Serbia. What's going to happen next? Well, Sashko handed it off to a couple of people to say, what do you think? Long story short, the bishop of the National Church of Serbia, the highest ranking religious leader in Serbia, saw these videos, said, wow, these are so well done. I want Sashko to make 1,000 DVDs of these stories, one for each of the 1,000 public schools across Serbia. And so last fall, last school year, students started seeing Jesus on their screens, hearing these parables like the lost son and the dinner and the good Samaritan, these stories in their language told by one of their countrymen, putting Jesus on their screen, not just so Jesus could be on their screen, but so he could be in their heart and change their mind and that they could be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So he just went on a little trip to Serbia and God did a miracle. And so we're believing that as we are faithful to do something small, God will make it into something big. And Jesus really could be on every screen. Paul says part of moving past our imperfection is to forget what is behind us. And the second day I was in Spain, so this was in 2013, I got my Speed the Light car. Now, you guys know about Speed the Light, right? So I'm so thankful for students and people who give to Speed the Light. We had a great, great car, very reliable. But the second day we were in Spain, I bought a GPS and I decided I was going to go look for the supermarket. And I took a wrong turn and I decided I needed to turn around. And our car is a 6-speed diesel Nissan, kind of like a Nissan Rogue here in the States. And so I decided, well, I got to turn around, and I went to put it in reverse, and I went forward. Huh, that's weird. I've driven a stick shift before, you know. I did it again, and I went forward again. You know, they say that the definition of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over and over and expect a different result. So I got to where my car was like right up against a concrete barrier. And I thought, I really don't want to have to call Dan Levy and tell him that I wrecked the car he got for me the first time that I drove it, right? So it was raining outside. I was like a mile from IMM, and I got my new GPS and put it in walking mode and walked all the way back there. And I got there, and my friend Joel, who doesn't speak much English, he looked at me, and I'm soaked, and I'm irritated, and all this. And he said, "Oh, Matt, what happened?" You know. I said, "I can't even get my car into reverse. What am I doing wrong?" There's a saying: the rain in Spain falls mainly on the stupid American who can't speak the language and can't even drive his own car. Have you heard that one before? So what Joel told me is that there's a catch. You have to lift this spot on the shift lever in order to put it in reverse so you don't accidentally do it. Here's why I told that story. In the months following that day, there were a lot of times when Rachel and I were looking back and saying, "Boy, wouldn't it be so much easier to go back? Wouldn't it be so much easier to be back in Montana, where stuff makes sense, where we can drive our own car, where we can go to the grocery store without making fools of ourselves, where we can sing the worship songs and know what we're singing?" But Paul says, "I'm not looking at what's behind me. I'm looking at what's ahead of me. I'm not going into reverse." Just like I couldn't get my car into reverse, there was something about what God had called us to do that was so strong in our hearts that we knew we had to press on instead of going back. So we are looking forward. Like Paul says, we are looking forward. And we're looking forward that our visa process would be approved very quickly. You know, last time, I think it took us 8 months. We are looking forward to it being a much more expedited. We are praying that government bureaucracy would not be a problem. I know that's a miracle too, right? Immigration is I'm not being recorded, am I? Immigration is a challenging thing in the United States and everywhere else right now. I'll say that. So, what are we looking forward to? We are looking forward to, there's a series we did called The Women of the Bible. And the women of the Bible in the line of Christ, Matthew mentions four women who are in the genealogy of Jesus: Ruth, Rahab, Tamar, and Bathsheba. And if you're at all familiar with any of those stories, you know that those women faced some really awful circumstances. Ruth was a refugee. Rahab was a prostitute. Tamar was disowned by her in-laws and her own family. Bathsheba, of course, we know sinned with David. All of those things are very complex stories where, in every case, God redeemed their situation. And so we're telling those stories because we know there are a lot of women in Spain who are looking for God, looking for someone to redeem their situation. We want to let them know that there's hope in Jesus. So when we were filming the Tamar story, we hire professional Spanish actors, and almost none of them are Christians when they come in our building. So it is a month of a great evangelism opportunity of having these folks in our studio, and we're eating meals together, and we're working together, and we're talking together, and all that stuff. The actress who played Tamar, her name is Perla, and about day 8 of 15 days of shooting, so about halfway through, she came in and she was just struggling personally, having just dealing with a lot of things in her life, and she was ready to quit. And of course, that scared us. We had already had 7 days of, you know, in the can, as they say. What are we going to do? So our director, Denise, she cleared out the studio. She had all of us leave, and she sat with Perla on the floor of the studio and said, Jesus loves you. He can't fix all your problems, but he'll be with you as you walk through them. You just have to accept him. And Perla did that there that day. That day in the studio, Perla committed her life to Jesus, and we went on and we kept filming. And she has been growing in her faith ever since then. And at the premiere, she said, she asked if she could address the crowd. All these other, her actor colleagues, all of us, all these people were there. And she said, I want to talk about what God has done in my life. So we happened to have a camera rolling on her at the moment when she did that. And it's part of this video that we're going to see next.
Hi, welcome to the premiere of Tamar, A Life Restored. We are so excited to launch this story into the world. And tonight we've invited the actors and the extras and their families, many of whom don't know Christ. The girls from the Rescue Center are going to come, and we are excited to show them the story of Tamar so that they can know that they are precious in the eyes of God. And we invite you into this moment with us, and we want to show it to you.
We're the Erickson's from Salem, Oregon, longtime supporters of International Media Ministries, and we are so thankful for the chance and the privilege to be here for the grand opening of Tamar.
Just wanted to congratulate the team of International Media Ministries on a wonderful project. We are so excited to be here in this wonderful city and be a part of this wonderful ministry.
You know, God's doing some great things through IMM, and here's a perfect example of those great things. We're believing God's going to touch a lot of people through this fantastic show.
Eso, que estoy muy feliz por haber formado parte de este proyecto, porque fue mi primera película, un mediometraje, y me ayudó también a conocer a Dios y a ver la importancia que es dar a la gente esperanza, ¿no?
Did you see what she said? This is the place where I found God and I found hope, and how important it is that we be people of hope, she said. And that's why we are doing what we are doing, so that people could find God and would find hope. So Paul says we are pressing on to reach the end of the race together. Point number three. There's a goal we're going towards, and we're going there together. I love the pronouns that in verse 14 there he says, I press on to the heavenly prize for which he is calling us. I press on, he is calling us. So each of us has to make that decision. This is where I'm going, and then we get to go there together. That's the great thing about church, right? We get to be here together. We get to pray with each other. We get to share with each other. We get to live our lives together, and we get to press on together towards that which he's calling us. How do we do this? The writer of Hebrews, he was writing in a similar theme about running a race, and he, in chapter 12, verse 2, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and the perfecter of faith. So as we're running the race, there's a lot of opportunity to be distracted by all of these things, but how is it that we go and we finish well? We make it about Jesus. We know that as we keep our eyes on him, he will help us to finish the race well. So what is it that together, why am I here to talk about what we can do together to reach the world? In Romans chapter 15, and I have the scripture, but I'm not going to read through it. You can do that sometime. Paul was wanting to go to Spain. And he writes to the church in Rome, and he says, hey, I'm going to go to Spain, and there's three ways that you can help me. And the three things that Paul identifies are the same three things that missionaries are looking for today. He says, first of all, pray for me. Pray for me because there's going to be many challenges. There are going to be, you know, shipwrecks and jail time that I'm going to face, he said. Now, I'm not hoping for any shipwrecks or jail time, but I might have to drive through a hailstorm in circles sometime, and so I need people praying for me. You know, things like that. So that's the first thing. Pray for us. I know that every missionary that comes asks for prayer because we understand that, number one, Paul recognized it was important. We still recognize it was important. We believe that it's because people were praying for our actors that Perla could receive Christ, that the Holy Spirit was already working in her life. We believe that it was because of prayer that in Serbia, now those stories are going into the public schools. We believe that prayer does those powerful things. And so on that little back table, right back there, there's a coffee mug with some prayer cards in it. And I'd love for everybody to take one and to pray for us. We would really appreciate that. Secondly, Paul says, I'm going to come visit you in Rome. Hey, I'm a missionary named Paul. I'm going to come visit a church in Rome because it's important that we can be together. It is important that we fellowship together. Assemblies of God is one denomination that allows and requires their missionaries to go visit the churches that support them. And this is important. I remember growing up having missionaries come and sometimes stay at our house and eat meals with us, and how important that relationship was. How good it is that we can be together and hear about what God is doing in remote parts of the world and in other places that we could maybe never go. Paul says that when we're together, we encourage one another. And that relationship is important. And so, because we live in Spain, we are not really restricted on, we can openly say that we're missionaries. That's not a problem. Where we live in Spain, we feel quite safe. In fact, safer than places I've been in Great Falls, for sure. So I say that to say you can contact us by email, on Facebook, all that kind of stuff. I'd love for you to sign up for our newsletter. If you want to sign up, there's a clipboard back there on the back of the print. You can click on and get right in to get that emailed to you. So, and I saw that someone printed it out and hung it on the bulletin board back there as well. So you can read through it there if you like. But that helps us stay connected, that relationship that Paul talks about. I don't think Paul was sending out an email newsletter, but he recognized the importance of being together. Thirdly, Paul says, you will provide for me as I go. And so, all missionaries are needing a financial partnership in order to go. And this church, I mean, you guys have been helping us every month ever since 6 years ago or whenever I was here. And that's important. So those of you that are giving through the church, through the missions program, that is so helpful to all of the missionaries who go. And if you're not doing that, I would ask you to go to prayer, ask the Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to do to be a part of the missions giving to help these folks on that board do what they're doing? I know that a couple of the families in the church give directly to us, and that's available, of course, as well, too, and I think there's going to be an offering today. And so all of those things, those three things that Paul mentioned, are the same things that we're still asking for today. So as I wrap up, I want to revisit that scripture from Philippians and say, you know, God is asking us to have a plan and a goal and recognize the purpose of what he is doing. And recognizing that we will have hardships to overcome, that we will have our own imperfections to overcome. But that if we are hanging on to his purpose and hanging on to the vision that he has given to us, we can accomplish great things. Number two, I believe he's asking us to forget about the past, forgetting about the stuff that's behind us, the sin that's in our past. I don't think that's God that reminds us of that junk in our past. Forget about, maybe there's unforgiveness. I feel like maybe the Holy Spirit's saying some of us aren't fully forgiving something in our past or someone. And thirdly, that we would press on to the end. Every day we have to choose, where are we going to press towards? What direction am I going to go in today? And I believe that's for us this morning, for this church. This church is very different than when I was here 12 years ago. A lot of the same of us, but none of us are the same, right? And that's because we need to keep pressing on to what God has called us to do. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. In just a second, I'm going to turn it back over, Pastor Kevin. I have one very short video. I want to tell you about a project that is just starting that I will be a part of as soon as I get back to Spain. It's called the Heritage Project. You see, the heritage of North Africans is not in Islam. The church, after Jesus' resurrection, there were many important church leaders who were living in North Africa, and the church was doing some really great things, was really thriving there. And so we want to tell the stories of those martyrs, those early church fathers, to North Africans in French and in Arabic and in the Berber languages. We're going to tell those 8 stories to them so that they can know that their past, their ancestors were Christians, their past was in Jesus, and not only that, their present and their future can be as well, right? Because there are a lot of folks who are really disenchanted with Islam right now, living in those regions, and they know there's something better. And we know what that is. We know that that's Jesus. And so we want to put that out there through our satellite partners, through mobile, through all the technologies available. So I want to show you a really quick trailer to that project. And thank you very much.
Two thousand years ago, North Africa was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman legions stationed in Alexandria, as well as the legions in Spain, were always present in the minds of the people of Africa Proconsularis, as the Romans called it. There was trade and commerce by sea northward across the Mediterranean. Political power was in the hands of the emperor and the Senate in Rome. And generally, North Africa prospered and was at peace, and people were content to think of themselves as both African and Roman. This is the story of the first 5 centuries, when North Africa was the home of a vibrant Christian church, of thousands of ordinary men and women who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. During the persecutions under the Romans, there were men and women alike who were prepared to die rather than renounce their faith in Christ. There were great church leaders in North Africa. Tertullian, the legal advocate and apologist. Augustine, the theologian. Victor, a Berber who became the Bishop of Rome. And Quadvalt Deus, who gave courage to the church at a time of persecution under the Vandals. But the church stood strong, as it had done for 400 years. This is their story. The people of North Africa need to hear it. This is the Heritage Project.
Amen. I'm reminded of something I learned when I was in Israel back in 2012. Israel is a very small country, and if you look at it on a map, you see that it's very, very small compared to all the Arab countries around it. But from the beginning of when God began to use that area, it was taught to me, and it's very relevant and evident, that Israel was on the crossroads of life. In order to go anywhere for trade or for goods or to travel, you had to go through this small little spot in the world called Israel, which at the time wasn't called Israel in the very beginning. And what I learned in that teaching is we have to continue to be at the crossroads of our own cultures. We are not supposed to isolate ourselves from culture, but infiltrate culture. You know, the gates of hell will not stand against it. Speaking of the church, the founding of our very faith, the way as it was developed. Well, guess what? The gates of hell don't move. It's the church moving. Amen? And what we see here is technology being used for the kingdom of God. And I don't have that skill. I think Shane probably does. Shane and Amanda are on vacation this week. He has those skills. I don't have those skills, but I'm also not a missionary. There's a lot of things that I'm not called to do, and there's a lot of things that you specifically aren't called to do, but Matt is. And we're able to see the technology of our world used for the kingdom of God, that Jesus would be on every screen. That's a pretty cool mission. And I love how you brought your children into it. And it's really neat how we can see the excitement that's there because they're being taught the value of the mission. And I hope that you have also gotten a little impassioned about the value of this mission. We've been supporting the Nelsons for many years now. I don't recall what the amount is that's being posted, but I do know just recently we updated all our missions giving so no one will receive less than $30 a month. That was a step of faith by our board, and I'm so thankful for their heart and the desire to see missions go forward. And so I believe that we can see these things increase above and beyond that. And today we have the privilege to bless monetarily and prayerfully.